I'm turning to Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. This is the word of the Lord to the prophet Jeremiah, who began his ministry in the early period of the reign of Judah's last good king, Josiah. Josiah was a mere 20 years old and began a process of reformation in Judah, but it was too little, too late. Judah was on a downward spiral throughout the ministry of Jeremiah, until the inevitable came to pass. They were carried into captivity because of forsaking the commandments of their Lord. The land of Israel laid waste for 70 years to enjoy her Sabbaths that the people of God were breaking. Jeremiah was sent to a gospel-hardened people. God spoke to him in Jeremiah 1, verse 17, when he called him, saying, thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound you before them. Today in our lifetime, in the year 2022, history is repeating itself as many continue a departure from sound doctrine to accommodate the carnal element in their congregation. This verse was a call to reformation, to principle obedience, and to separation by God's people. It is a call that is also relevant to you and to me today in this era. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. Ye shall find rest for your souls, but they say, we will not walk therein. This call to Judah stemmed from many, many charges that God had brought against them because of a pattern of backsliding and idolatry. The chapter begins with a threat of judgment upon the land by foreign invaders, verses 1 through 5. If you were to study it, you will see. I can only read a few parts. O you children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem, and blow the trumpet in Tekoa, and set up a sign of fire in Beth-Hakkerem. For evil appeareth out of the north, and great destruction. I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. God was going to utilize the heathen to remove Judah, as we read in verses 1 and 2. God graciously warned the tribe of Benjamin to seek cover and sound the alarm to nearby nations and cities. Whenever God is going to bring judgment, He always warned the remnant, the few, the trickle of faithful believers. You know this. Benjamin typifies the remnant, who was a small part of the whole. Before the flood came, God warned Noah. Only 8 people escaped the waters of the flood. When Sodom and Gomorrah was judged, Lot and his family escaped. In fact, the judgment was so swift that Lot's wife did not escape. She loved the world. Here the Lord showed mercy to Benjamin, who was that small group within Jerusalem that stayed faithful when there was the split. They are a figure of the Lord's people. They were to blow the trumpet to surrounding cities to escape. The Lord had summoned the enemy from the north. Listen to verse 6 and 7. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, said, hew thee down trees and cast them up against Jerusalem. This is the city to be visited. She is wholly oppression in the midst of her. As a fountain casteth out her waters, so she casteth out her wickedness. Violence and spoil is heard in her. Before me continually is grief and wounds. So there was this threat upon Judah, a threat of judgment that was forthcoming. You know your history that it did happen. What are some of the charges that God had brought against this people? Well, first, they had closed their ears to the truth. Look at verses 8 and 10, and you will see. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, and a land not inhabited. But before we see that, we see in verse 7 these awful words. As a fountain casteth out her waters, so she casteth out her wickedness. Violence and spoil is heard in her. Before me continually is grief and wounds. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, the land not inhabited. When one has turned their ears from the truth, they may not listen and will not listen to the gospel. But say what you may, even though people may listen to the gospel, the word of God may not get through. Verse 10 asks a rhetorical question in Jeremiah 6. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. This people were circumcised in their foreskin, but they were not circumcised in their hearts. And the time comes that the word of God is no longer the primary interest of God's people. Something else would take interest in the Lord's people. We are seeing today history in the church age, in our church, is being repeated. The other disturbing witness against Judah and Jerusalem was a comprehensive departure from God's word. They not only closed their ears to the truth, but there was a comprehensive departure from the word of God. Verses 11 through 13. Come with me to the word of God. Verse 11. Therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord. I'm weary with holding in. I will pour out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men. Here's this word young men again. The professing believers together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the age with him that is full of days. Comprehensive departure children abroad, young men in the assembly, husband, wife, the aged, implies a comprehensive nature of Judah's sins. Verse 13, for from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. Notice the comprehensive nature of Judah, everyone. Twice Jeremiah shows the rank and file of Judah, priest, prophet, people, were given to the things of this world. So this record shows the spiritual state of God's people. They were under the threat of judgment. And Jeremiah is not really a pleasant book to read. It's not, but it is a very up-to-date book. They had closed their eyes to the truth. This was a judgment. Priest, prophet departed from sound doctrine. There is one last sad commentary. Their leaders brought a compromise message. Verse 14 and 15. Notice verse 14 especially. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. They provided a message, made everyone happy. Peace, peace and love, all is well. How can there be peace with all these indictments stated in the context that the priests and the prophets were bringing? A twisted message would produce twisted living. To say peace, peace to those in rebellion against the scriptures is giving people false assurance. To say you're saved when you're living like you're lost is giving people false assurance. The chapter before spoke of the watered down message of Jeremiah's day. In chapter 5, let me read it to you, verses 30 and 31. A wonderful and a horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it this way. And what will you do in the end thereof? At times I say, and I always say, people become like their leaders. And it is really sad. And this was the state in Judah. There was no apparent evidence of change either. What was even more alarming is what is declared to us in Jeremiah 6, verse 15. There we read, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore, there shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Brethren, this is the history of our forefathers that we should read. But history is being repeated today. Prevailing state in Judah is past. But if your eyes are open, if your eyes are really open to the evangelical world and to your church, you will see the same things today as well. I hope you men are seeing what I'm seeing. People are more apt to listen to a compromise message with zero repentance and commitment. They will say to us, your church is small. Come to our church. What you need to ask is the gospel preached there. Hear the word of God. Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they say, we will not walk therein. We should always ask, who is featured? Who is glorified? Are people turning from sin? Are people living for God? These are the things we ought to ask. The text that is before us call us to stand is to be stable. Stand ye in the ways and see. You can only see if you're stable, if you're standing in the way. You can see truth from error if you are in the way. And that's why God gave us teachers, leaders in the church, that we henceforth be more, no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by this trickery and cunning craftiness whereby many lie and wait to deceive. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Today many are swept away with the latest fad by smooth-talking wizards. Rolling stone gathers no moss. Yeah, that's true. But as our friends say, it gathers nothing else either along the way. Weeds, dirt, sand. That's what a rolling stone picks up. By the way, to stand is to be stable. Jeremiah calls us in these days to stand. The old paths are the word of God. Jeremiah says, ask for the old paths. The doctrine of sin. The doctrine of sanctification. The doctrine of the second coming. The doctrine of biblical church order and churchmanship. These things are taught in the word of God. Stand on them. The new Calvinism that you are hearing is corrupting the minds of so many people today. Let me say something. This Christian rock music is nothing more than a new invention that is taken away from the old paths, the old biblical ways. Don't get involved in it. Taken away from the biblical hymns and songs, spiritual psalms. Jeremiah says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. The book of Proverbs in chapter 22:28 is somewhat parallel. It says, remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. Remember, God had set down a law in the Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy, where he says, thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. Back in those days, to remove the neighbor's landmark was punishable by the law because it was a picture. It was an attempt back then, when you do that, to deceive and to take what is not yours by removing the landmark. And yet today, men want to change the word of God, want to change the finish line, want to change the goalposts because of expediency. The old paths, the word of God. I hope you know this. The word of God hasn't changed. Second, the good way. Ask for the good way. The good way is Christ. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. We walk in him, we follow him, we follow his word. There we find rest. As a matter of fact, he said that he's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 calls him a more excellent way. Nothing more excellent than the Lord Jesus. Prophet Isaiah said, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see your teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk you in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. God provides teachers for those who want to follow the way. And this was a prophecy relating to those who were seeking the Savior. The third thing we want to look at this text carefully again, the rest that is given is the salvation of our souls. The text says, and walk therein. We are considering Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. And we come to the last log, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. The rest given is the salvation of our souls. We must walk in the way if we want that rest. Walk in the good way. There's a way that seemeth right to a man, but is the way of death. There are not many ways to God. Don't kid yourself. There's only one way. All roads do not provide rest to the soul. A lot of people who think that they're following the gospel are not following the gospel. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. He's talking about salvation. The Jews were laboring in the ceremonial law, keeping the law. And Jesus says, no, come to me and I will give you rest. The rest that you're seeking on Saturdays is not the rest that I'm calling you to. I'm giving you a rest of your souls. So what are the old paths that we are called to stand on today? They're the same as from the beginning. And that's why they're called the old paths. That's where we find rest for our souls today. Same old paths. But the text gives an unfortunate response. And you should pay attention, close attention to that response by those in the days of the prophet Jeremiah in verse 16, part C. But they say, we will not walk therein. I mean, at least these people were honest. At least they were forthright. They said, we will not walk therein. Is it not the same today in the silent disposition of many of you here? Isn't this the same today? We will not walk therein. This is a silent disposition that men have that we see today. It is really sad, really, in the effort of reformation. Now, having said this, I say this, and I say this very carefully. Over the past years, we have sought to recover the old paths of Reformation taught by the fathers of the Christian faith. And I would suggest that we get good books and read. Get good books and read about the five solas of Scripture. Read these things by these men. But over the years, we have sought to recover the old past, but I have become in this church like a voice crying in the wilderness. Today, history is being repeated in our eyes, and I make no apologies. It's like I'm a voice crying in the wilderness. The old paths are written in the Word of God. They're nothing new. They are the ancient landmarks to show us the way to life. And I would like to spend the next few minutes in attempting to mention at least three of these old landmarks in the Christian church, especially in our church. One, the first and the main one, is salvation by grace alone. Today there is this insidious teaching that people can choose Jesus at their own time and their own convenience. People are taught this. This is nothing more than an attempt to give man credit for salvation. And we have heard this again and again and again. One of the old paths is salvation by grace alone. not by salvation, by grace plus works. Today, people want to say that they can have a custom fit, ready-made gospel message to fit their schedule. Jeremiah 6:14 said of the preachers of his day, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. What Jeremiah is saying is that the preachers were saying, all is well with your soul. All is well with you, sister, brother. The goalposts of the paths of doctrine, the doctrine of salvation, is inched up that anyone can lay hold by their own merit. My friend, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. Check what you are hearing from your preacher carefully. Check your Bible carefully. Is it a salvation by grace alone? Or is it something else? A book? A prophet? A priest? A pope? Is it something else? One of the greatest doctrines of the Reformation is sola gratia, which means salvation by grace alone. When last did you pick up a book with the five solas and read? I suggest you get one. I can recommend them to you. Many have taken salvation by grace alone to mean salvation by grace plus other options. There's only one plan of salvation, not two. Apostle said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that call you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. It's Apostle Paul, what is he saying? He saw a problem in the church at Galatia. And what makes you think, by the way, that it is any better today? Close to 2,000 years later. And today there's a proliferation of gospels that have departed from the truth, departed from salvation by grace alone. What's the second landmark? What's the second old path? And the second one is sufficiency of Scripture. And when I talk about sufficiency of Scripture, I'm talking about sufficiency of Scripture, not only for salvation, but for Christian living. Sometimes people want to be right on the doctrine of salvation, but on basic Christian living in the home, marriage, and whatever else, they don't want to listen to that. Oh, God is right with salvation, but he can't tell me what to do in marriage. The sufficiency of Scripture is an enormous interest today, a clamoring for additional revelation. Every year, it's a different translation of the Bible. I can't keep up with them. An attempt to simplify the Scriptures. Well, let me say something. The Scriptures were never, ever meant to be simplified. That's why you must study to show yourself approved. That's why the gospel is called a mystery. It is hidden from the natural man. The moment you and I seek to simplify the Bible, the mystery is taken away. You must study. Burn the midnight oil. Do word studies. Do checks of words. The whole Bible has to be considered. It's the Holy Spirit that leads us into truth, not the translators. And some of you are caught up with these translations. You see me use one Bible. Of course, when I'm in Zimbabwe, I use the New King James. But I told them down there that the Shauna Bible is not a Bible. Men were stunned. It's a paraphrase. It's not the Word of God. And if you are attempting to teach and preach the Bible, you can't do it with a Shauna Bible. You have to study. Dig deep. Holy Spirit. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. What is his covenant? His covenant and his testimonies is the gospel. Let's stand in the waves and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. Shall find rest to your souls. Remember the prophet Isaiah 55 said, let your soul be satisfied with fatness. And that fatness, by the way, is the word of God. Sufficiency of the scriptures. Don't look for anything else. Don't ask for anything else. Today, as I was saying, there's a movement that is advocating new revelation. You may not be in the way to hear these things, but we are constantly reminded to be careful. Second touch. You're saying the Bible is not enough, but Revelation 22:18 is very clear that no one should add or take away from the Word of God. Very clear. Am I hearing talking? Many are neglecting the old paths, ignoring the ancient landmarks. I'll just give you two. Salvation by grace alone. Second, the sufficiency of Scripture, the inspired Word of God, not only for salvation, but for living the Christian life. Scripture is sufficient. What it says about money, sufficient. What it says about sex, sufficient. What it says about marriage, yes, sufficient. What it says about worship, sufficient. When we step out of line, we are forgetting the old paths. But it's the third one that I want to mention. That is a third mark of the old paths that are being neglected. The sanctity of the Christian Sabbath. Yes, the Sabbath day, the Christian Sabbath, is the most maligned doctrine. It's a day where the athletes and the sports attractors worship their gods. It's a day of pleasure. Barbecues. Christians. 1 hour, morning, gone. For the rest of the day. God held up that as a standard bearer for God's people. When your neighbor see you respecting the Lord's day, your neighbor knows this one is different. I remember one time, some time ago, we had a massive snowstorm. I think they had about 20 inches on the ground. Couldn't move. I went out and was trying to shovel my driveway. And my neighbor said to me, Pastor Tay, you ain't going to church today? I said to her, why don't you go? Trying to be smart with me. I guess she regret that she said that to me. Why don't you go? You trying to poke fun at me? But little did you know, she knew something. She knew the day of worship. And up to now, she respect me on Sunday. She said to me, Pastor Tay, I don't play music on Sundays because I know you are studying. You're wrong. I've studied already before Sunday. But I'm making a point, and I'm talking candidly to you, practically out of my head. This was one of the grave sins of Judah in Jeremiah's days that the Lord denounced. That is being duplicated by many professing Christians today. In Jeremiah 17:20, and 21, the prophet was told, say to them, hear ye the word of the Lord, ye kings of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter in by these gates. Thus saith the Lord, take heed of yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day. Neither do you any work, but hallow you the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers, but they obeyed not. Neither incline their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. You may be one here sitting today. That said, but the Sabbath was a Jewish command and has no bearing on the church today. You are right. In a sense, you are right. You got that right. The Jewish ceremonial Sabbath was fulfilled in Christ, who has given his people rest. They were abusing it. But the moral and the spiritual application of the Sabbath remains the same. It's a moral law. The Lord's day is the Christian Sabbath. Well, at least Desire got that right. I hear him chastising his people. It is the Christian Sabbath and should be set apart for worship and gospel work. Yeah, you work, but it's gospel work. Certainly acts of mercy and necessity are permitted by God. If I'm a fireman, obviously I got to go to work. I may be called to be in the surgery, in the operating room, as I did for some years. Yeah. God is gracious to allow that. But not doing our own thing by pleasure hunting, bearing burdens at the shopping center, the laundromat. They're not necessities. Come on. To trample on the Lord's day is a sign of rebellion against God. I hope you know this. It's nothing but a flimsy cop-out for people to give an hour on Sunday. Give an hour of worship. Throw a bone at God. And you should listen to these things. Give an hour to God and have their barbecues Sunday afternoon. Have their friends over. What kind of witness is that to an ungodly world? More and more men are desecrating the Christian Sabbath. We are to ask for the old paths. Where is the good way and walk therein? You shall find rest to your souls. For those who are hindered, and I must add this clause in the message. For those who are hindered from worship because of providence, I don't want you to think that I'm anywhere castigating you. For those who may be listening, who are hindered, our church has tried to provide a forum and a means for those who are absent to hear us by way of stream messages. To my dismay, most of them, if not all of them, who are absent, never bother to listen. You hear what I say? Most of them, if not all of them, never bother to listen. Don't want to hear what is brought from the pulpit. They're no longer part of the congregation. It is disturbing. And you may be listening today, and that's okay. But you are in the minority. I ran out a lady, Lorraine Dintilly, over there on 28th Street. And every Sunday, she's not at Trinity, she's joining in the sermon. every Wednesday, she can't go to prayer meeting. She's right there with her brethren. Is she any different than me and you? I don't think so. She has been taught the Word of God, just as you are taught. But we have tried our best, and we thank you, Brother Corey, for even making it more modern for us, that I don't have to be hitched up with no piece of thing in my belt. But we have tried everywhere to provide a forum. And yet, people say, I will not walk therein. And what do you think? And how do you think I feel about this? What in the world are we doing on the Lord's day? Where are we trafficking on his day? My friend, God's hand is not short, neither is his ear heavy, but willful violating of the word of God provokes God to anger. And you'll see it in your lifetime, if you doubt me. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. The Bible says, he who despised Moses' law was punished under two or three witnesses. This man, very incidentally, picking up a few sticks. I always marvel at this on the Sabbath. Moses asked God, what to do with him? To put him in a ward. The next day, God said, kill him, stone him to death. It doesn't make sense to me. But you don't know this man's heart. This man, I believe, was defiant in going to pick up those sticks in the light of what he heard. Maybe he was going to get some firewood. And he was just defiant. And God, capital punishment. God doesn't strike people down today. He wouldn't. But it is showing us when we do that, that we are under his wrath. Just like that man that was picking up those sticks. The sad in the book of Numbers. And when you and I read through Jeremiah, brethren, let us not say that those people in Jeremiah's day were uniquely different than our day. I think Brother Othniel is going through Jeremiah. I think Brother Depo, if the men's Bible study is going through Jeremiah. So I just thought that I would mention this book, because the things the men are hearing in there need to be heard out here with the general congregation about Jeremiah. And some of you have been hearing these things. And I wonder, the word of God is not for a group of men. It's for the church. But when we hear Jeremiah explain, let us not think that those people were uniquely different. Let us bring the message of Jeremiah home. The Bible is the living word. The word of God is quick, active, and sharp than any two-edged sword. It divides asunder the joints and marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. There is no creature that is hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and bare before him whom we have to give account. I quote it from the New King James Bible. Let us ask for the old paths. Is our church preaching the gospel of Christ? Is our pastor laboring in the gospel? Where is the good way? Is our people walking in the gospel? Are we living the gospel? Walk is to live. But the Bible also shows a glorious reward. And you shall find rest to your souls. But we see an obstinate heart. We will not walk therein. And could it be, let us be very careful, could it be that this is your disposition today, as they were back then by the people who said, we will not walk therein. It shows you and I that unless God graciously grants man the will to do of his good pleasure, he will not do of his good pleasure. He always will not. He always will say, I will not. I will not have this man reign over me. This is not my prayer for anyone today. So may the Lord be pleased to write these words on our hearts today. And may he be glorified in the preaching of his word. Jeremiah 6, verse 16, I close. Stand ye in the ways. Be stable. Stay there. And see, you can only see if you are in the way. And ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? It's Christ. Walk therein. That's the life. And you shall find rest for your souls. That's the salvation. May the Lord be pleased to bless our hearts today from his word. Let's pray.
Amen.
Lord, we pray that our eyes would not be closed to our environment, to our church, to our people, but that we would be ever ready to preach the gospel in season and out of season. Help us to be sensitive, O God, to our people. Help us to be sensitive to the sins in our congregation, that we may bring the gospel, the healing balm of Gilead, and that you may help us to walk therein. Bless your most holy word that was preached with compassion and mercy. And we ask, O Lord, that you will be pleased to glorify your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.